cliffcentral.com. What's up? It's Thursday morning, and you are listening to the weekly mashup with myself, Dimisha Masha, and of course, my favorite presenter in the whole world.
In the whole wide world.
How you doing?
I'm great. Well, it's Candace Mama for those people who are like, who the F is that?
You gotta introduce yourself, though.
You know what I mean? I'm good. Wow. Yeah. What a hyped up day.
It's actually gonna be a crazy show. It's lit.
Yeah, that's what they say. Oh, T. You know what the young people say?
What do the young
lit.
People say?
Lit.
Oh, I thought that's what everybody said. I know it's like a young people.
No, I don't know. Like, you know, okay. Older people use that. But
I use it sometimes. Things it's going down, man. We've got some interesting guests in the studio for you.
So interesting.
Some guys that I know.
I know.
Some
it's friends like you of brought mine. Me every single you know? Like guy to choose from here.
Yeah. We haven't introduced you yet, so we'll let you speak when we introduce you. All right, we'll let you speak when we introduce you.
Yeah, now you guys all right? know.
Now you guys know. Got a whole bunch of black people in the studio. I'm a little bit nervous. For the first time in my life, I was like, "There's so many black men in here. I'm so nervous. I don't know." Anyway, some good energy, some good young energy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But before we get to you guys, we want to just discuss some of the things that happened this week.
Okay,
Candy.
Yes.
Did you hear about social media blackout?
I did yesterday. Was it yesterday?
It was supposed to be yesterday, okay. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, because who wasn't on their phone yesterday?
Wait,
when you say didn't happen, did the people responsible call it off? Or?
I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like people were on social media.
Yeah, and I bought more data than I've ever bought.
Oh, okay. So that really didn't work.
It really
but here's work. The thing. Here's a story. I got the inside scoop
on
the actual person who came up with it, right?
Okay.
They are actually designing my website. So this lady came up with this social media blackout. She had like a whole, I don't know if you call it a branding for it with the night sky and blah, blah, blah. And then, I mean, who do you know it to belong to? Ntsiki Mazwai, right?
Yes, yes.
Because then Ntsiki retweeted that and then she reported. And then by the time she had done, by the end of the day, it was like, it was Ntsiki's now. And she was like, it's mine. It's mine. I've taken it from you. It's reappropriation.
That's
you know, it's funny, right?
Because
the one who came up with it is a white girl, right? And then in the end, like the black girl took it. And it was like the opposite of what we're trying to do with land. They took our land, so we're gonna
take their ideas.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened.
Oh, really?
It was very interesting.
It didn't work though.
Seemingly.
But you know what the problem is? We live on our mobile devices. We live on
internet. The trick was just to not be on social media. I wasn't on social media at all yesterday.
Well, I had to tweet for the show.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just wasn't on because I just kind of forgot. I was
busy.
You know?
Yeah, it's not like it was a conscious effort.
Yeah, I was busy doing stuff. And then I ended up watching a couple of movies. And it was one of my off days. So I was yesterday, I forgot.
You didn't feel... So you involuntarily participated.
Yeah. But we really have to make a conscious effort to make the networks understand that data cannot cost 11 rand. Jeez. For 1 gig in Nigeria and 150 rand, or in India rather,
and
150 rand in South Africa. Like, come on, for 1 gig?
For 1 gig. And the worst part is, I actually feel like when I buy gigs, data in abundance, it actually runs out quicker.
Yeah.
Like if I buy like 5 gigs,
then
I kid you not, in a week it's done. I get that stupid, you've got 15 megabytes remaining message.
I started out on my contract with 2 gigs every month. I would go past that by 1 gig, maybe.
Yeah.
Every month, I would go past by 1 gig.
Okay.
Then they took it up to 5. Suddenly, I would go past it by 3 gigs.
Oh.
They've taken it up to 20 now.
Yes.
Can I tell you that at the end, before the end of the month, I have to buy an extra 10 gigs.
Jeez. But they're ripping us off, eh? Because and then you know what's the worst? When you actually ask them that, like, you'll call the call center and be like, I don't understand. They're like, what kind of mobile device do you use? And you're like,
they blame it on the mobile device.
like how maybe come? Maybe it's updating in the background.
How come I wasn't updating in the background 2 months ago when I had like a lower contract?
Exactly.
I understand.
Now it stays updating.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this a Bentley? Like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah,
anyway, what's other news out there that's happened this week?
What has happened this week? I feel like politics has been
politics
there's
is
always something happening. But I feel like we've maybe become numb to that, you know?
I feel like, you know, we had so much with the Gupta leaks, and like I tried to keep up to date with them. There were so many things that I had to, you know, that I just forgot.
Yeah.
After a while, I was like, there's just too many, guys. The mistake was there were too many Gupta leaks for us mere mortals
to comprehend.
Who don't read every other minute of the day to get the whole story in. Yeah. So you just get lost. It was a quagmire of Gupta leaks.
Like, we want to know, but we don't want to know in that much.
We don't
want to
know that much.
Like, could you just summarize it for us? Yeah. Just tell us, like, the important tidbits, you know, like, who we should be looking at, who we should... And then who was the minister this week who actually said it's because he's black? It's not Tito Mboweni. It's someone else who was in a scandal, and his press release was actually that they're coming after him because he's black. And I was like, well, isn't that a bitch? Because the whole parliament is black.
Yeah.
So I guess everyone. Racial.
Everyone's next. We're all,
but
racial.
You know what?
But you never know. Could be, though.
I use that quite a bit sometimes.
Oh, really?
Like, I enjoy it. Like, it's just nice to make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But I think we should own it because it's ours.
You know,
like, it's not over yet, guys. It's not over yet. Because sometimes it really is because you're black. Sometimes, like,
it's but you know what? There's so few perks to being black sometimes that, I mean, just being able to drop that.
That's all we got.
And you're just like, sorry, is it because I'm black?
Yeah, that's all we got. That's it. There's no privilege. There's nothing that comes with your uncle does not know someone who's a multimillionaire who's going to help you through a
exactly.
door. All you got is because I'm black.
Is it because I'm black?
Yeah.
And it actually gets you places. Like, I actually jumped a whole buffet line using the line, is it because I'm black? Yes, it was
amazing.
This
was an all-white wedding.
It was an all-white wedding, and I skipped the whole buffet line.
Wow.
And because everyone was like, oh my gosh, ha ha ha. And then that uncomfortable giggle, and you just keep walking forward. And
I say, when you can, always like make white people guilty about being white. As often as you can, all the time.
And it's always fun, and it's always in good humor. Not
always, in good humor, right? That's so important.
You know. Yeah, we're not doing it, you know, to be mean. It's just fun sometimes.
We're just doing it because actually, like, 300 years of colonialism, we're having a little bit of fun with it.
And did you actually talking about it, didn't happen this week, but you earned your last week, and Musi Maimane, remember, and Helen Zille.
Yeah.
Musi came out with a strong statement like, oh, Helen is stepping down because I, Musi Maimane, was revolted by the colonial tweets. Mm. And then Helen was like, I'm going nowhere, nigga. Like, what?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. No. Like, no. That's not what we spoke about, Musi.
That's not what we said.
I just said, why are you going I'm apologizing. Why are you telling these people that? Why, Musi? Why?
And then he had to come out and be like, no, you know what? I feel like the apology was from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was all about that, right? It was like, but she's still the premier of the Western Cape, though.
Yes.
Yeah, like we're gonna monitor her tweets, but she's still the premier of the Western Cape. So the big job, the one that's the most important, she's still gonna keep that.
You know,
but she said she was sorry.
As long as we don't see her, you know, like, as long as she's in the background and controlling Musi from afar,
and controlling the Western Cape, keeping it European.
Colonialized. You know what
I mean? Yeah, keeping it colonialized is fine. I think Zuma should come on with the ANC and just say that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the corruption. I'm sorry about what happened with the Guptas. I'm still going to be president of this whole country.
Obviously.
We're still going to keep doing what we're doing, but I'm just sorry.
As one does.
Yeah.
But you know,
but
you know what? I actually feel like, you know, Jacob Zuma and Kanye West, they've got very similar personalities in terms of, you know, they don't give a damn. Like, they love themselves, so nothing you say is actually going to affect them.
I know.
They just, like, live life accordingly, right?
I need a bit of that. Like, unapologetically myself.
Let's stop focusing on their negatives and start focusing on the positive of Zuma.
Okay.
Zuma does not give a damn. Like,
that's
he
the
does
first,
not
that's
care.
The first positive.
That's the first positive. Like, okay. Zuma,
as a president,
Zuma
you
can be
have
ridiculed.
To give a few F's. You know
well,
what I mean?
You know, but in this case, that's how badass he is.
Yeah, like
he's ruining the whole country.
While you,
with no
he's
F's
one of those
given.
Kids. You are telling him about his funny shaped head, and he's laughing at you for saying it. You know what I mean?
He actually turns the joke around on you.
You know
now
what
the
I mean?
School's laughing at you.
Yeah, and you don't.
When he's the one with the head.
Yeah, and you're like, but I was really witty with that. This and why they love him. Yeah. Okay, what's another positive?
Another positive is he can laugh off anything.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing. He's like, it's like duck off or water's back.
But I think we must be honest about something. Like, many of us would like to get stuff for free, right?
Yes.
Just for being in a certain position.
Yeah.
He's managed to actually do it. You know,
right?
and it's worked for him.
And
a 500 million rand house in Dubai.
And
guys,
even when people are complaining too, this is not like he snuck it out, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm going to get
like,
something for free under the radar. This
no,
is someone who's like, I'm going to show you I'm getting something for free.
Okay, that's another positive.
You know? And then what's the other one? Resolute, eh?
Yeah.
He's resolute.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's like, I am not stepping down from this presidency.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water, I am staying.
I'm actually glad we're going through this.
Yeah.
Because there's another one. He loves his kids, and he only wants the best for them.
Well, so
how
so
many
much
fathers
so?
Have organized a couple of billion for their children?
I mean,
with their acquaintances and friends.
Sit down, people. Sit
yeah,
down.
Sit
Take
down,
a
guys.
Seat. Take
when
a
your
seat.
Daddy organized that for you, gets you a mind.
Right.
You can talk.
Father of the year. That
father
one.
Of the year.
Of the year.
Like,
he may fuck us all over, but
yeah,
at least he's father.
All his kids are set for life.
Right?
So actually, you know what? I'm congratulating him for that.
Yes,
he deserves
things.
The big piece of chicken on Father's Day. Definitely. He earned that big piece of chicken.
A big piece of chicken in the Dubai house. Like, exactly. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. So, I mean, with Zuma as president, I think those are the few life lessons we can all learn.
Okay, that's
if you
want to
become somebody, you got to have that attitude.
You got to have conviction.
You got to have conviction. Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to go into this next part of the show where I want to play a song.
Okay.
To introduce our guest. Mm-hmm. And this is the song that they came with.
Okay.
I hope technically this works. That was dope.
That was amazing.
That was beautiful.
That was like a whole dance party in
here. Yeah, there was a whole dance party in here. That was amazing. Awesome. Hey, what's up, guys? That was Swift Biko, by the way.
Amazing.
We've got some gentlemen in the studio. Swift, can you get yourself to a mic somewhere? Quickly,
yes,
quickly,
please.
quickly. Swift, where you at? Where you at, Swift?
I'm right here, bro.
All right, quick one.
What a song.
What an amazing track, man.
Thank you very much.
What's the name of that track?
The name of the track is Music in the Air.
And he uses that same Letambole.
Yeah.
Music in the Air. Sure. I've always wanted to use that sample in a song. I was never really going
to
do it as well as you did. ever.
Thank you very much.
And the only reason why I was ever going to do it was because no one else was doing it.
So I'm just
glad that you did it. And
thank
you did
you
it like so well, man.
Thank
that
you
was
very
amazing.
Much. Thank you very much.
I love that song.
Yeah.
I love the message in the song. What's the message about, though, to those who are lyrically challenged, like they can't hear lyrics?
Well, the song is basically about spreading good vibes, you know.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are spreading good vibes through their music nowadays, you know. And for me, it's mostly about taking back music, bringing back music, actually. Because most of the people now are all about bumping trap.
All about
and, you know,
money,
it's no longer about soul, you know, about touching a man's, someone's life.
Yes.
And actually changing it.
Nice. That's what I loved about it. It was so uplifting, but at the same time, I mean, literally the first time I heard that track last night, I was listening to it by myself late at night, and it nearly brought tears to my eyes the way, like lyrically, it just works in with how the music is. I had goosebumps. I was like, we are doing this right now in our country. There are young people who are doing these amazing things, and I get to live in this time.
100%.
And I just hope a lot more. I hope your song blows up and it's just so big
that
everyone gets to hear it, you know? Not just even just for you to be big, but just because it's got such a beautiful message. So
100%,
congrats to you, man.
100%. Thank you
big
very
up
much.
To you. Well
thank
done.
You very much.
Thank you
very much.
That.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Swift Biko, everybody.
All right.
And in the studio, we got a couple of other guys.
Yeah.
we got everybody.
We got like 2, 4, 6, 8.
We all from the hood.
Which hood?
You're from Tsakani. Joe, where are you from?
All from Tsakani.
No, Joe's from...
I'm from Africa,
though. You're from Africa?
Durban.
I'm African.
Yeah, but you can't just be from everywhere in Africa. Like, where did you grow up? You didn't, grow up everywhere, Joe.
I grew up in the Congo.
Oh, nice.
But you sound like you're from the
really?
North, dog.
Yeah, I'm a North
As you can
boy.
Hear our English, that's high.
Hey,
I thought it was they put it to the from vendor, like, Tanin. Okay, no, it's fine. So,
the Congo.
We got Joe, we got Spoo, Skinny Spoo Sparks, and we got Teppo.
Mm-hmm. The gene maker. Yeah.
The gene maker, as well as the gene.
I think we would like to introduce
everybody.
Personal capacities, but today we're just standing here as
I've got to say that because like all of you are accomplished, you know, you've done something. Like there's some guys here as well that are here. They're all accomplished. They're not just here as an entourage. Everybody here is somebody. So you know, tell us who you are.
Let me just
tell
jump
the world.
In. You'll come in, and Teppo, you'll come in. My name is Busiso Ngwenya. Sitting here 2 meters tall. I'm 25 years old.
Okay.
The biggest entrepreneur that the world has ever
seen. Or the tallest anyway, right?
Or the tallest, I want to be a high-impact entrepreneur. I want to go into everything, sell bread, sell socks, sell music. I've started
sell it, man.
Doing
whatever.
That
sell
already.
It.
But I'm running one of the biggest brands in the world called Skinny Spoo Socks. We've started a movement.
Everybody's got
very,
one.
We've been very innovative in our marketing, in our products. Our product is done in-house. It's designed by Creative Mindspace. Joe will tell you more about it. But the reason why we're here today is come and talk about Rockstar Entrepreneur. We're already launching it. It's a group of young, funky entrepreneurs who are making entrepreneurship cool and encouraging kids to do that. But also, I come here in my capacity as the founders of TNS Records. You just listen to our music. TNS music.
It's not like S as in an S. It's not. He didn't pronounce
not
that
S.
badly. It's an actual S. Like T.
T.
Like
T.
Limarao.
Limarao.
what a combination. By the way, I gotta say, right, every skinny we saw, because I'm from Pretoria, right, and we like to match. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to, if you're wearing blue mm-hmm. and orange, blue there socks. Must be an orange somewhere. So yeah. You see, my I've got orange there.
That's
now,
proper.
In my socks, I've got like a blue, I've got like the pink there. Yes. You know, and I love that.
It's very nice. Yeah. I love how you match them. And I always wear my blue Nikes also, but I'm worried by that every day. You know, everything we're wearing here, we make ourselves.
Yeah.
We're planning to go into shoes. We want to do, we make everything.
Make everything.
You can just jump in, Joe.
Okay.
Tell them about crazy.
Let's go to Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Hey.
Where are you from? What do you do?
I'm from the Congo. Creative Mind Space.
Okay. From the Congo.
Yes.
Which Kasi in the Congo are you from?
Right down in Kinshasa.
Which Kasi in Kinshasa? Brazzaville.
I don't remember.
Oh, no. Okay. All
right. I don't remember.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Joe, I'm trying to give you some street cred.
I'm a Joe Burger. Joe
is from the suburbs of Kinshasa. Now he's in Joburg.
Yes.
He's from Joburg now. Yeah. And what do you do, guy?
We run Africa's greatest agency called Creative Mind Space.
All right. You and Elliot?
Yes. Me and Elliot Sitoli, my business partner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We basically changed the game to how African brands are perceived locally and through the global sphere. And that is what we're all about. We've conflated all the African elements. So our colors, our people, our weather, everything. And we've pumped that into our brands and made them premium.
Look, from a creative point of view, I know that you guys are behind the creation of the Skinny Swoosh Socks logo, which is like really hot.
Yeah.
Tell us like how you came up with that from the brief level to just putting that together. Because it's a very iconic brand now. It's become a brand.
I think the one of the things that we really try to focus on is authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how do we then communicate that to the market? And also not just to the market, but then how do we as Africans start relating to the brand?
Oh yes.
And then we took the storytelling route with the brand. So it's not just socks that look good. I mean, there's a lot of you know, other socks in the industry, but for us it was more of how do we communicate our stories, how do we change our narrative.
For me, so the only sock brand, if we're going to talk about socks, with the actual logo that just is part of the sock design,
that
it just makes it stand out so much. I mean, that logo is amazing. And of course you did the African.com logo, which is also
which
it's just amazing. It's African legend,
which you didn't know that we did until like 2 days back.
I forgot. Okay, I did know it was you, Joe. I remember we had some conversations, all right, but you know, I meet a lot of people. I'm a celebrity, okay? Just in case y'all forgot. Just in case y'all forgot. Don't make me say it again.
Just in case you didn't know. Now you know.
But, you know,
your aunt's favorite celebrity.
But you know, it's.
And there's a cocoa milk tanda ganjan.
That's my demographic. That's my main market, man. Yeah,
your daughter's about to fall for me.
Oh! Oh. I certainly hope not. I really like you, though.
Yeah, but no, Dimisho, it's really that, like, really just changing our perspective of how we see our brands.
Yeah.
Because we literally so westernized, you know, we consume Western brands so much that we, like, it hinders us from supporting our own.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the problem with that is it's because we're not being unapologetic about who we are.
Okay.
We're not united. We're not collaborating with each other. I'm on the verge of launching another product.
Tell us about that. Yeah. Are you ready or not
yet? It's called Joe Human.
Okay.
Joe Human.
Sounds good. What do you do at Joe Human?
It's going to be very... It's a luxurious goods brand.
Luxury goods from Africa. Nice.
Yes, of course. I can't really drop the details right now.
But we just know it's luxury goods.
Luxury goods that are going to change the way we perceive African brands.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be affordable. It's luxury. Luxury. Because the thing with Africa, right, is like it's African. So now suddenly we have to, like, we're always caught in between this thing of it's African, so it has to be affordable and stuff. But let's be honest, right? That if you... Like back in the day when I grew up, maybe it's because, you know, we were poor back then. I don't know. But luxury was something that you didn't do every day. And now it's like it should be every day. if you can afford everyday luxury, yes, that's good for you.
Yeah.
But still, luxury is not every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It should be like, okay, it's a little bit upmarket. It's a little bit pricey. It's dear.
Mm.
I have to put something in. I have to love this thing. It has to cost me something for it to be a gift. You
know? When you walk out, you want to feel like this is a luxury brand. You don't want to see. The thing is with luxury, though, the reason we invest in it is because we don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have it.
That's the other thing.
You know, so you're actually taking out that money in order to be an individual. So I think that's what we really need to focus on as Africans.
Yeah.
Also, part of the narrative, you know, and what we're really trying to build with the guys. When I met Joe and Elliot, I think I had only done my first collection.
Okay.
And we sat down and they said, well, you know what, we really want to add the narrative element to your socks. You know, want your socks to tell a story. Want your socks to be like an album when someone buys your collection. You know? First things we looked at, we said Africa is not all about prints. You know, Africa is bigger than that. We here, most of us, we are from the hood, but we don't necessarily gel with the guys from the hood. But also we don't get along with the guys from the north because we don't have the same understanding or the same experiences. So there's been this gray area that most of us have experienced. We are not too soft, but we're also not too hard. We're just here in the middle, and we fall in love and we're trying to make money and we fail. And those are the kind of stories that we're trying to tell through our products and everything that we're doing, you know. And I think when it comes to the issue of luxury, we're also trying to defy that. Why can't Bongana Setsakane take luxury and own it also, like Kavela did it? So we're trying to water it down and say, yes, luxury is very aspirational and only a few can attain it.
Yes.
But if you work hard enough and Dikamalaku Bongani and you live in the hood, you can still get it and it has your name.
The funny thing about that story and what you're saying, Buddha, is that there are a lot of guys who live in the hood who have luxury items. And they understand that those luxury items are dear. I mean, a Kavela is not a cheap shoe. It was always supposed to be a luxury item. We just sometimes use it on an everyday basis, right? All I'm trying to say is we seem more open to buy a European luxury good,
even if we're from
the hood. How many guys in the hood have a Gucci belt, for example, right? Or a Hermes belt, or a Gucci sweater?
Even if it's knockoff, the fact that they want to aspire to align
with
that brand.
And yet, if it's an African product, then we must go and buy it at Mr. Price. Prices.
I think we're one of the first brands really who've really stopped being apologetic, you know, when it comes to our pricing and our product placement and stuff. We don't care. You're not gonna buy our brand because we're a bunch of black guys who are trying to make it now. You're gonna buy our brand because we work hard and it's quality.
It's quality.
It's quality. We're done with that.
Speaking of quality and luxury and Tepo. You are now making African luxury jeans, right?
Yeah, I'm making Africa's luxury jeans, but what I'm trying to get to, a Zara, Topman, Topshop level. I feel like luxury has to be available to everybody and it has to be cheap. Not too expensive. Quality is for everybody.
I think the word there is affordable.
Quality, yes.
Affordable.
Yeah, because I was like cheap.
Right? Yeah, not cheap. Affordable. Yeah. And with a premium positioning.
Yeah. That's kind of the story with Levi's. Right?
Yeah.
They came out with that. Like, it has to be affordable, but it's still luxury and it's good quality.
Yeah. Same like Coke. You know, it's a great product. You can find it in Congo, deep in the village. It's still Coke. You go to the north, it's cleaned up. That's what I'm trying to build with Tepo the Jean Maker. And I think we, as the gents here, the squad, rockstar entrepreneurs, that's what we're trying to build together. You know, we want to win it together, that we're building luxury brands but affordable at the same time, good quality. And I think the reason why a lot of people are afraid to buy into black products, because for a very long time black designers have been presenting cheap stuff, bad quality. We're not associated to quality, and that's what we're trying to dissociate ourselves or trying to change the narrative from that. And also we're trying to say that black is cool. Tepo is cool. Tepo is a great name. It's a beautiful name. It's great. It's nice. It sounds nice. Tepo the Gin Maker. What? Skin is cool. So it's great. And that's what we're trying to say. Black child, you have a beautiful name. Celebrate it. Gucci is somebody's name. Louis Vuitton is somebody's name. Tommy Hilfiger. Tom Ford. All these people. And we're trying to say, hey, we Africans and we're good. And somebody, and Spoo and I were talking about it like a day ago, is that if we don't recognize it or exploit who we are, an American will start a brand called Tapo in America, and it will be so big and we'll all buy it.
And you're all going to be like, but that's my name.
Yeah, we're all going to be like, that's our name though. Why didn't I think of it? But we have it now, and we're exploiting those levels. We're exploiting all those channels.
And also, I think the biggest people who have an impact in the world are people who are true and authentic to themselves.
That is
think
so true.
About them. Davido, go all the way back to Mary Makeba before internet and stuff. Brahu, Lira, all these people have a very great African aesthetic about them that makes them different from everybody in the world. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up, because actually, and we're going to talk to Ellie just now as well. Someone like Miriam and Hugh, you know, we forget like the impact that they made, and we as young Africans need to be always thinking those guys paved the way.
Yes.
How am I now doing something that they've already done? Hugh Masekela was a number one Billboard topping artist in the 60s along with Miriam and mainstream music. He wasn't mainstream. Like on some side thing like the jazz thing. He was mainstream music. He won an Oscar, a Grammy for Grazing in the Grass. He hung out with people like Mick Jagger, Quincy Jones, you know. You know, and now we want guys like Spoo, Tepo, Joe, Elliot,
Biko
to be out there ready. So that, you know, if P. Diddy calls you and says, hey, come make my
time
songs,
to get into my,
you gotta be ready. Come make my jeans. Jay-Z says, I wanna wear Tepo jeans now. You gotta be ready. And the only way to be ready is to, in your mind, think that you deserve to be sitting at that top 10. Right? Elliot.
So can I just say something? The one thing that strikes me about all of you is that you've crafted your own lane unapologetically at that. You know, you're not apologizing for the fact that this is who we are, we're different, we're creatives, and we're gonna demand, you know, that society actually steps aside. Because for a long time, I think a lot of us have been trying to jump into other people's lanes. This is how this one is doing it, so I'm just going to do it like this. And you guys are doing it differently, and I think that's mad props to you guys.
Yay! You know what you just said is chest to us. When Spoo and I actually launched TNS Records, a lot of people were really against that. Tepo, you're supposed to go into mainstream fashion real quick and blow up in that space before you can do everything else. But we are multi-layered individuals, we're multi-layered entrepreneurs. We know how to sell stuff. I'll still make my jeans proper, even better quality,
better
everything, but I'm still selling music at the same time. I'm not a one-sided individual. I have other strength
you're
as
multifaceted.
Well,
I'm
exactly, that's a beautiful word.
So which hood are you from, guy?
Okay,
let's start there.
Come close.
Put on those earphones so you can hear yourself and what you're doing in that microphone. So
and
we can
speak
hear
to
you.
Us. Let Speaking us hear
to
your
the
wisdom.
Microphone. Yeah.
Okay, me, I'm from the East. Katlehong is pretty team.
Oh, okay.
Okay, my idea about being a creative, I wanted to change people's lives, especially where I'm coming from. What I'm doing, animation, it's not something that is known, like especially to a black child.
Black, yes.
Yeah.
When you it's known to be made here. We know it. Yeah, we know I'm a Popeye.
Yeah.
But it's like,
you know, it's not a career.
Yeah, you know. So when I met Joe, we had the same vision, and we wanted to change everything, the game, you know. We wanted to have the first African hub here in Africa, like only animators and designers, you know.
Dope.
So that will change everything in terms of the kids outside. It's possible for you to have your animation at school or whatever.
So still make money out of it.
And make money out of it.
I'd like to see Ellie. Just think about that thought that's coming up. But I would love to see an African fairy tale that's animated and it's coming from here. That we
based
don't have to have
African
Disney come here and do
sure.
it. Yeah, and then have him. I'm not saying that it's always wrong. Like, we always have to get on the bandwagon and say we don't want Samuel L. Jackson's voice and we don't want so and so's. Like, it's fine. Yeah. They can have that. But one day we need to have like our own thing where you actually have done the whole thing right here with us, with our African
you're the
voice
first
and everything.
Superhero.
You know what I'm saying? Bet, you bet, you bet.
Actually, let's have you as
a superhero. No, but
Gussie Man.
Let's not
all
forget.
All the way from Mamelodi. It's Gussie Man.
But let's not forget, Lion King is proudly, you know, from. It has its roots in South Africa.
Well, yeah. Lion King. Let's say the this. The Lebo M didn't create the Lion King as much as Lebo M was responsible for some of the music, not even all of it.
Yes.
Lion King is a story based in Africa, and we have a couple of those. But we the producers, the ownership is not
with us.
South African. It's not African.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I understand what Hollywood's trying to do with animation, where they might have like a black animated character and a story about that. But what we don't have, I mean,
is ownership.
Is ownership and also African stories. So, like, you know, my mother used to tell me stories growing up. We had Tswana fairy tales that I grew up listening to before I knew Cinderella.
Yes.
But where are those books?
Yeah.
Where are those animated TV shows that were made out of those stories? They're nowhere. And and there's a treasure trove of those, right?
Yeah, because actually I'm against the Lion King. Because if you check the characters' names, Abo Kumba, Simba, those are not
our African names. Yeah.
You can't find those names. Mm. Why can't you name a character Simpiwe or Tepo, you know, so whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So the whole thing I'm trying to say, we see, we want to change all that.
Yeah.
Our characters, our own superheroes.
And
why not?
Yeah.
And supreme quality at that. Because we do have animations. They're just not
the
greatest
quality. Yeah, you have to believe. Like, look at Super Strikers. It's out there.
Yes.
It's international. They've made an animated show out of it now. Yeah? You were saying?
Because another thing is, I'm also doing my own. I'm starting my own brand also. I'll be working with my other friend, Nkululeko Cikiso. He's also an animator. So, in the sense, are we going to design shirts?
Okay.
Yeah, we also working Nosbu.
Yes.
We also we gonna design shirts from, and I'm sure you're gonna relate to the story. Umashwabana, remember those shirts?
Hey, my God! I Umashwabana pants. What you talking about?
So we wanna bring that vibe back, you know? Cause I understand. I think we see Abo Kuche Versace. They stole that. Because they saw opportunity on us, and then they took it, they used it. So Tina, if we're gonna imagine you have your art on your shirt, Konama 325 ASC, Konabu Charlie Mingas, you know all these people, on your
the
on your shirt,
and
then and you get those elements as as an Africa still, understand? So those are gonna be high premium shirts.
I look forward to that. I'm like chomping at the bit.
But
you gotta make it for all shapes and sizes. Like Tepo, like your jeans. Can anyone wear them, or do you have to be skinny?
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Because you know, Africans, we come in all shapes and sizes.
I know. I've been trying to work on my ladies' range, and it's been a bit of a challenge. You know how our African ladies are shaped, man. Like
they're beautiful.
They're beautiful. These people. So you know, you have to do beautiful stuff.
Okay,
on
don't
patterns.
Forget the skinny people as well, please.
Yeah, no, but like
some African ladies are very European shapes.
But we're working on that.
They got you covered. Their first batch is for skinny people only. Right, you can see the whole studio is full of skinny.
You guys influence everybody else.
So you know what's happening, Dinesh?
I
think one thing me and Tepo and Elliot and Joe, all of us, that we said we set to do because we started Rockstar Entrepreneur, wanted to reveal the truths behind our businesses. We can't be masking all the time, pretending as though everything is cool and things like that. You know, the reason why currently myself, Tepo, and I think that's the challenge the gents are going to face also, we can't produce stuff for everybody, is because we don't own the entire value chain. So when I go to a factory and I say I want this type of quality, they're going to tell me minimum for that is 500 units. So I can only produce one color, one design, style. You understand? So what we need from our people is that sort of understanding, to saying, look at how far Back Skin Stock started from. I started with $70 and I took all your money and built what we have today, you know, and keep on trusting me. For me, me to have a ladies range, I want you ladies to buy these socks for your men and wear them. Mm. So that over time I can go and negotiate with Fake and say, guys, I have this much money now. Can I have 1,000 units instead of 500? Wow. And these ones, can they be different from these ones? You know? Okay. So that's the understanding behind it. We're still building, guys, and we're very patient. We're going to build this thing. Mm. It's not a flight by night. We're building brands here that we're going to leave.
I just want to play another track right now.
Hey.
Another one that's pretty dope, you know?
Hey.
Let's just get into that.
Hey!
Is that the one?
Let's do that. Let's do that.
All right, here we go.
Hey, this is real music right now.
Shama get down. Sipilim below.
You sure can sing now.
You can sing. What's up, yo? Yo, I love that song. I love that track. Jiva. Jeeves. What's up, yo?
I'm good.
You're good?
Super.
Yo. That was a super dope track. That was dope. Thank you. I love that.
Thank you,
I love that. From the bottom of my heart. That was Sipilim Pilo. You know what I mean? Say peel.
Yeah,
tell us about the track. Your inspiration, Baba.
I mean,
Usually I listen to old school music.
Yeah.
I like listening to music, like good music. So
yeah.
I'm a versatile rapper. I do new school music. I do music for the masses. I do music for everyone. So I like doing music.
You know what
so
I love about what you guys are doing, though? What I love, because you are hip hop has, you know? And it's the kind of music, and there was one line, mother, father, sister, brother. I thought you were going to take it there, but you didn't. And that's what I love about you guys. You're not taking it there because it's not necessary, right? And it's always, you know, it's like you're good boys. I feel like, you know, we could have a prayer session after this. But I really, I commend you for going, for being brave, because that takes a lot of bravery. Yeah. You know, you could have done what everyone else is doing. You could have gone into this hip hop game talking about the money, because that's what we want to hear, right? Yeah. That's what's selling.
Yeah.
The women and all that. But what you did was you also brought it on a very, very, very touching, very uplifting, you know, tip.
And you know, he's
not a man of many words.
It's
TNS Records all over, you know. And what we're trying to do at TNS Records is to make music.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna box it under hip hop, it's cool.
Yeah.
If it's so, it's cool. Mm. But something that Swift said, you know, he said this is touch music, you know.
Mm.
So if it touches you, it's that genre. That's what we're trying to create.
I appreciate that from young South Africans, guys and girls, being like, let's stop the bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's just get to, like, let's talk about what's real. Mm. Let's uplift, because we all need upliftment.
Yeah.
You know, we need it for ourselves and we need it for other people. So big ups to you guys.
And but also, this music came at a right proper time in the country. Everybody's going through a depression.
Oh, yeah.
There's a gray cloud in the country, socially, economically, personally, in our lives, you know. And so much is happening, but the only thing we have really as a weapon to really survive is just music, because
it's
nemala
yiko.
It's free.
I think it's so important you mentioned that, because it is something that I've been talking to my friends on Facebook about, and it's about just the idea that everyone thinks that, you know, you need everyone else's life is going great, right? And you need things in order to be complete. And everyone else looks great on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and we're lying to each other.
Yeah.
Because all of us, I mean, we look at Skinny's Boo socks and we're like, oh,
he's made it.
We're done. Yeah. You know, and we look at, we listen to your songs and we're like, everyone is making it except me. So I think it's so important that you highlight the struggle.
Yeah.
And you tell people that we all go through a struggle, but at the end of the day, we're building empires, we're building things, legacies, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that. You guys have a great message. It's unbelievable.
Amen. TNS Records in the house.
So, something that you said there that I just gotta talk about. I think with this whole "we've made it" thing, right?
Yes.
For me, for the past couple of years, I think we've been hiding behind the fact that, you know, spiritually we haven't been making it. Our souls have not been prospering.
Oh yeah.
Our emotions, our mentally, we have not been. So we've covered it up with how many BMs can I buy? How many Bentleys?
How many Gucci?
How many Gucci bags?
So that
how many
likes
can I
get?
Because I don't like myself right now. Yeah. So I like the fact that you guys are taking it back to the real. Where first start with you. Let's sort that out. Does it matter that we don't have money or we do? Mm-hmm. It's not going to change anything right now. But can we still be cool? You know what I mean? And that's been a message for me that I wanted to push. Like, because I've noticed, especially with the guys, it's like, if I don't have those things materially, then I'm not really cool. I'm not really Tumisho.
Yeah.
Tumisho is the guy, you know, he's always dressed sharp. He's wearing the most expensive brand. He drives the most expensive car. He lives in the biggest house in the estate.
Yes.
But without that, then
who are you?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I love that. But here's the thing, guys. TNS Records. You know, we've had a lot of young people starting record companies together over the years. And then suddenly the musicians come back and they're complaining about the guys who are behind the music, the management, and saying that they ripped them off. Okay? I want you guys to make sure that that's not going to happen. That's not the story, the narrative we're going to hear from you guys, right?
We're not planning to go down that route, you know?
Yeah.
What happened with the four of us, actually, Swift, Biko, Jeev Nasty, Tab, and myself, we're all going through the most horrible time ever in our lives. And we wanted to do something together, you know? Tab and I said, guys, we have the contacts and a bit of money and a place to crash. You guys have the music. Let's help you put it out there.
Okay.
And let's make money together. It's that kind of deal.
I love that.
We're not here to rip anybody off. You should see our contract. It's the most simplest thing ever. It's a one pager. We wrote it by hand. Agreement what's happening between the four of us. And nobody comes in there, you know, because we met when we were here. And we're investing our all, you know, to make this thing work.
I was thinking about that this morning, driving in, thinking, you know, we need a disruption in South African in business, in the whole thing, every business. And the disruption is, it's possible for all of us to actually make it. You look at overseas record companies, and I don't know the ins and outs of everything, but you look at, for example, Def Jam, started by the guys from Run DMC back in the day, right? Yeah. Reverend Run and those guys.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, was born Rock Nation with Jigga.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there was birthed Kanye and so on and so forth. The Dr. Dre, it was like the first was Death Row Records, and then Dr. Dre had his own record company, and then from there was birthed Eminem's record company, and then from there was birthed 50 Cent's record company.
Yeah.
So you see the sustainability, you see the story I'm trying to tell here, because after Kanye, now there's Big Sean. Without Kanye, there wouldn't have been Big Sean.
These people paved the way for the next generation of people.
Yeah, and everyone's making money because everyone's making money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can like to share that
food chain
in our industry.
Yeah.
Where in our industry, whether it's just business, like we're just selling
entertainment,
amakwinya, or it's entertainment, whatever business it is, in the whole value chain, because I think that's why we have this inequality in our society, and we still have so much poverty, because one person takes all the money and everyone else gets nothing.
And I think, just to add on to that, I think there's the scarcity mindset that sometimes around African people, you know, because I mean, we haven't had in a very long time, so now that we have, it's like, how much can I take for myself? And that's why what you're saying is so important, that you know, we can all make money, we can all, you know, do this thing together without that competition of like, I want to make all the money and I'll see how you guys make money.
And I think that's really what we're trying to do with Entrepreneur Rockstars. I mean, it's a group of guys that are acing it in their own fields, you know, but we have found a way to come together as a collective and create initiatives and become an effective movement, you know, through unity, through collaboration. I mean, what Swu is feeding off is what we're feeding off. I mean, we have so much social capital amongst us, you know, that we can really exploit and be able to use to get us to where we want to get. You know?
And I think the biggest thing is, that's what we live, to us this is real, you know. We live in the same house. After we live here, Joy and Elliot live here, we're going there to their place, you know. So we're sharing the smallest things ever. And when you do that, even when the big money starts coming in, the principle is still the same. 100 rand, 100 million to us. We still need to share.
Yeah, yeah.
What people don't know is that the business behind is the same guy who does books for me does books for Tepo.
Yes.
And they're going to do books for Jeeve when they start having their own establishment. Mm-hmm. We're sharing office space, we're sharing admin, we're sharing all those things. Yeah. You understand? So we have really realized that the enemy for a very long time has really... came in between black men and told us lies, and we started believing them.
Yes.
And now we're changing that, and it doesn't look good.
Yeah,
and brands are rejecting you.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
society system is rejecting you. But you know what? The only thing we have is unity.
Yeah,
oh, I love it.
Unity.
I love it.
All right.
You know, we were having a conversation with Spoo the other day in Parkhurst with one of South Africa's leading PR manager, and we like to him, dude. Like the industry is so boring today. It's like. Dry. Everybody is safe, you know. Everybody's Instagram is beautiful. Yeah, you know, it's three pictures. It's perfect, and nobody's real. And we're saying with what we're trying to do, we're trying to live our lives, and it's so nice, it's so free.
Yeah,
because you don't have to pretend.
You don't have to prepare. We're happy. When we said, everybody can see it.
Yes. When you're happy,
when you're happy, you're happy. When you're not, you're not. And a lot of people feed off to that because we're real.
But can I tell you guys something? When you guys walked into the studio, first of all, you guys came in with such incredible energy.
With such fire.
Which is so rare for me because usually I'm the loud one. So you guys guys showed me. I was like, hey, I hold nothing here.
Yeah.
But you guys actually genuinely have great energy about you. And you guys are genuine human beings.
Yeah.
And I think you guys don't even know it, but there are people out there who are watching you. And you guys are creating other entrepreneurs. And you guys are creating dreamers. Yeah. And you guys are creating people out there who are just thinking, these guys are actually what I want to become.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Yeah.
For a long time, black kids have not had role models, especially male role models.
Yeah.
And I take my hat off to you. I'm inspired. Thank you. I feel like I'm going to take on the world.
I feel like I'm ready to go.
Right?
I mean, I want to have a meeting right now with anybody. And Tuso is listening in as well. And he says, like, good show, guys. You're pretty good. You're pretty cool and lots of energy. So, yeah.
Thanks, Tuso.
Thank you.
Love you.
Yeah, dog.
You know, Tumijo, it's I think for us, it's all about being unapologetic of who we are, owning the moment. I mean, we're here for a reason, you know. Everything that we have right now is what we have decided to create.
That's right. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. That's life.
So we literally wake up in the morning and we say, you know what, today I'm gonna have an amazing day.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm gonna create something that's going to exist.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
We might not be eating off it right now, but maybe the generation
you
after
will
us.
Soon.
Yeah. No, you will. No, yeah, trust me. You know? You're getting there.
So you're getting there. Amen.
You will see the goodness.
We'll receive.
Receive. Hey.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh my God!
It's really just about owning your moment, you know.
Yes.
And it all starts with you as to say, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. You know, nothing should be looked at a disadvantage. I mean, none of us here come from well-off families. You know, we created what we have today
from zero,
from nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and some of us were like forced to go into entrepreneurship because of our circumstances, but later on discovering that, hey, this thing is actually maybe a calling. You know, this is my purpose.
Yes.
You know, I was made to create.
And actually, in the same breath, you know, not to make it a very serious, guys, there's someone on the radio who said this today. He said, I'm trying to have fun whilst I'm going to my destiny. That's what we're doing.
Amen to that.
We're not gonna have fun once we have
because we're having fun already.
It's nice already.
It's because everyone's focused on the end goal. Yeah. Right? No one wants to have fun in the middle. I'll be happy when this happens. But guys, thank you so much. Like, do you guys want to leave the audience
with
parting words?
I love that last message, by the way, and I want to say that I was reading something on the secrets of hardworking entrepreneurs. And the one thing I got out of that was, if you are not enjoying what you're doing, you cannot maintain that hard work ethic. So you've got to find a way to, if you don't love what you're doing, either find what you love doing and do that, or love what you're already doing, what's been given in your hand, and do it with excellence.
Because
you can't do something with excellence and not enjoy it.
You know what I mean? To that.
But we can't leave the place without playing hip hop party, right?
No, we can't.
Man.
Come on.
No, we can't. Party.
Thank you so much for being here, guys.
Nah.
Who's got hip hop party quick to
go? We can't. No. No.
Today.
Not today.
There's no time like the present. Let's do it.
Don't make
I hope you don't get a phone call in the middle of this because
we're living in real time.
Faga go flight mode, da.
Can I play?
Play
it.
Okay, play.
Thank you guys. See you next week.
All right, bye. We'll see you next week. Awesome. Thank you for being with us. Ciao. CliffCentral.com.